Very good evening, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We continue our study, and so far as you know, we have not actually discussed and explained what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. Some people perceive this as maybe a half-empty glass, and then you fill it with water, and then you fill it to the full, to the overflowing. Can there ever be such a thing as to be filled with the Spirit of God unto overflowing? Remember our first message, the Holy Spirit will indwell us, where Jesus Christ will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. After the Holy Spirit has indwelt us, then only can we be filled with the Spirit of God. So to be baptized with the Holy Spirit by the Lord Jesus Christ is for believers only, which in turn results in the filling of the Holy Spirit also for believers only. In both the Old and the New Testament, we discover that the Spirit of God can come upon and control the behavior and conduct, thinking and actions of both believers and unbelievers. When we think of being baptized with the Holy Spirit, that is an invisible event done by the Lord Jesus Christ the moment a person is born again. You do not need to feel anything. It is an act that is supernaturally performed by the Lord Jesus Christ the moment you are born again, truly, sincerely. With the indwelling of the Spirit of God, you are sealed. You belong to God, and you are a child of God for eternity. Nothing on this earth nor in heaven can ever separate you from the love of God through Christ Jesus. However, when it comes to the filling of the Holy Spirit, it is a repeated event. And if you want to know what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God, there are certain passages that you could refer to where there is the use of the phrase filled with the Spirit of God or filled with the Holy Spirit. So far, we have looked at one, and that was with reference to Exodus 31, where God filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God in order for him to construct, guide, and help all those who will assist him in the construction of the tabernacle, so that the tabernacle will be built precisely according to God's description. And at the end of it, we know that he passed the test because God accepted what was presented and offered to him at the close of the book of Exodus. Fire came down from heaven to consume the offering, and everything went very smoothly. When we look at the New Testament, we realize that the only baby that was filled with the Spirit of God before he was born. That is why it is unthinkable for people to say that babies inside the mother's womb, they are not real human beings. God tells us that in Luke 1:15, John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit of God. In other words, John the Baptist was already born again before he was born, because the theology is a person cannot be filled unless the person has the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And therefore, based upon this theological understanding, John the Baptist would be filled with the Spirit of God. And how do we know that he was filled with the Spirit of God? When Mary and Elizabeth met, both of them were cousins. Jesus Christ was now in the womb of the Virgin Mary about 6 months after John the Baptist was inside Elizabeth's womb. And when the two cousins met, the baby inside the womb of Elizabeth jumped, symbolizing that he recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ was present in the womb of Mary. And that brought forth Elizabeth being filled with the Spirit of God, and then she started singing. And then in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 67, Zacharias also was filled with the Spirit of God. And then you have, of course, the Pentecost event. And then in Acts 4, verse 8, you have Peter preaching the Word of God, having been filled with the Spirit of God. And then in Acts 4, verse 31, you have Peter and John being arrested, and then the church gathered together to pray, and then God supernaturally released Peter and John, and then the church together with Peter and John were filled with the Spirit of God in the ministry and boldness in preaching and teaching the Word of God. And then in Acts chapter 9, verse 17, you have Saul's conversion and calling. And the Bible says he will be filled with the Spirit of God to be an apostle to the Gentiles. In Acts 13:9, Saul was filled with the Spirit of God as he rebuked Elymas, the sorcerer, who hindered his ministry. So you have all these examples of people of God, servants of God, being filled with the Spirit of God for a particular ministry. And after the ministry was completed, the next time when they have to do another ministry, they will be filled with the Spirit of God again. So it is a repeated event whereby the person who is filled with the Spirit of God will be led, empowered by the Spirit of God to accomplish God's purpose and will for that particular moment. In other words, if you are going to teach the Sunday school this coming Lord's Day, you prepare all that you possibly could, and then you pray and ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit as you teach the Word of God to the children, and God will surely enable you and help you. But remember the prerequisite. You have to be born again. You have to live a holy life. You have to practice biblical separation where you do both the do's and the don'ts. Living a holy life would be to obey all the do's that God asks us to do. Biblical separation is to obey all the do-nots that God asked us to do. So it is not just for every child of God. You have to be a child of God first. Otherwise, you have no indwelling of the Spirit of God. You cannot experience the filling of the Spirit of God, because the filling of the Spirit of God is for power in ministry as well as power in living a holy life. That's what it is for. And it is not overflowing like a cup empty or half full, and then you pour water and then you overflow. It's not that kind of a picture as you can see from Ephesians chapter 5. Because in Ephesians chapter 5, you'll find that the filling of the Holy Spirit describe how the individual must walk circumspectly. And when he is filled with the Spirit of God, then only we can talk about how his life can impact the lives of others in a manner that is pleasing to God. So the person's individual relationship with God must be right first, and that filling of the Holy Spirit of God will help him to be right with God, so that when we consider, God willing, tomorrow morning, the husband-wife relationship, and then tomorrow evening, the parent-child relationship, and then on Friday morning, service, employer-employee relationship. Now, all these will depend very much on your relationship with God. Very important. Especially for you and me who are children of God, who have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And I'm sure some of you may have experienced it. When you are close to God, when you are walking right with God, I'm sure you have experienced moments where you were very patient. You are not easily perturbed. You are very long-suffering in your relationship with your spouse. And you are very, very careful and conscious with your choice of words when you deal with people who are difficult, cantankerous, troublemakers. You know how to live and react and respond very well. But there were times when you stop praying, when you stop doing your quiet time, when you are far away from God, you become easily stressed, you are short-tempered, you are not careful with your words, and you get upset for no rhyme or reason, and then you pick on your wife, you pick on your children, for no rhyme or reason. I'm sure you and I have those experiences. When you are right with God, you will begin to be right with husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, as well as with others. Because this is how you're going to relate. All the three relationships, husband-wife, parent-child. If you are married, husband-wife. If you have children, parent-child, child and parent. And then on Friday morning, it will be your work, because these are all your circles, except maybe your friends and service in church. So everything about your relationship with people in your life, with your job, hinges largely upon your relationship with God. And so when you are filled with the Spirit of God, you will want to walk circumspectly. Now the question is this, what does it mean to walk circumspectly? Now this phrase is found in verse 15. Now we stop at verse 14 this morning, reminding us how we need to be awake, don't be asleep. When the word sleep is used to describe us, make sure that you are dead. If you are dead in Christ, then the Bible says you are sleeping, that is a good thing. When you are breathing, you're alive in the body, and God says you are sleeping, that is not a good thing, that is a rebuke. You and I ought to be watchful, ought to be sober, and not be found sleeping. And that's what verse 14 says, warning us, awake thou that sleepest, talking to people who are very much bodily alive. Wake up, arise from the dead, and make sure that you are light. Christ has given you light. That means when you are born again, you will be the light. When you manifest your life of holiness, and then you rebuke those who have fallen into sin, you will be the light. The Word of God is the light. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light. The Gospel is the light. Believers are light. The local church that is sound and good and biblical is the light that God will use to manifest darkness, to show up the darkness around us. That's what you must be. And all these will depend on your walk with the Lord. Very, very important. Because you can't do it on your own without the Lord's help. So, Bible says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. Now, the word see there is not just having a glance and that's it. This is a word that describes perception. It describes someone who will observe with careful contemplation. In other words, God wants us to sit down, check every area of our lives. No area must be left out. And you know that as you grow, as you mature, the areas that of our lives that God has given to us will change. I can't honor my mom and my dad anymore because they are not around. I was able to do so when my mom was still alive. By the time I became a Christian, my dad has passed away. After my mom had passed away, I can't honor her anymore. That phase of my life, honoring my mom, it's over. Whether I pass the test or not, remains to be seen when I stand before God one day. I can't do anything about it, it's over. That phase of my life, it's gone. When I got married, now I have a new responsibility. I have to be the best husband, godly husband to my wife, because one day I have to stand before God and I have to answer. So I have to see and perceive and contemplate, am I a godly husband to my wife? And then when God blesses us with children, now I become a parent. It wasn't that I was not a parent. So that phase did not exist until the first child was born. And so now I have to check myself and contemplate. Am I the father that God wants me to be according to Holy Scriptures? That's the meaning of the word see. Contemplate every area of your life. Before God called me into full-time ministry, I was just an architect. So I have to make sure that my employee-employer relationship, my relationship with my colleagues must be honoring to God. I have to sit down and contemplate and think and ponder. And then when God called me into full-time ministry, that phase of my life is over. Those 3.5 years when I work, did I pass the test? One day I have to answer to the Lord. And then now after I've called into full-time ministry, then the Lord called me to become the pastor. So this area continues on. And one day this area will also come to an end. And I have to answer to God, contemplate, am I a pastor that is according to Holy Scriptures? Or else one day I have to give an account to the Lord and the Lord will find me wanting if I do not pass the test. I have brothers and sisters. I have friends. I have enemies. All the areas that God has given to you. Because one day, these areas will come to an end. New areas may come. Now, I'm not a grandfather yet, God willing. If my daughter gets married and God blesses her with a child, then I will become a grandfather. So a new area will come forth. And then I now have to contemplate how to be a godly grandfather to the grandchild. That's what it means by the word see. You contemplate and you check every area of your life, and it will vary. As you are younger, your areas are quite limited. As you mature, as you grow, the areas will increase. Because right now, many of you are students. So as students, you have to be the best student that God wants you to be. And then you have a sibling, or you have no brother, no sister, then you are the only child. Then you have friends. But your parents are still alive. So how am I the kind of child that God will be pleased with in my relationship with my mom and dad? Am I conducting myself in a manner that is God-honoring? That's the meaning of the word see. Check every area of your life. Look at it, scrutinize it, put it under a microscope and contemplate. That's the meaning. And you don't stop because it is in the imperative, it's in the present tense. You keep on doing it and it's not an option. And then the Bible says, how should you see? See then that ye walk, live circumspectly. The word circumspectly means live accurately. Don't live any way you like. So all the areas of your life, you scrutinize, you contemplate, you evaluate. And you have to keep on evaluating. Because there may be times where four other areas distinction, but one area suffers. Do you know why David was never cited, not even once, as an example of a godly father or a godly husband? Because he was not. He was cited time and time again throughout the book of 1 and 2 Kings. If there was a good king, God will say, he was a king like unto David. Many, many times. So David was very distinguished in his position and in his duty as a king. But as a father, as a husband, he was a failure. You and I live in a period whereby we do not have the luxury of kings, because kings have a different standard compared to those who are in the local church. You look at the qualifications of an elder in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 7, and you compare that to the qualifications of a king in Deuteronomy, and you'll find that they are worlds apart. To be a king, you cannot multiply wives, you cannot multiply gold, you cannot multiply horses, and all you need to do is to copy the word of God and rule the country according to God's word. That's it. To be an elder, you see the long list of how his life as a person is scrutinized. And then if he is married, his entire household will be scrutinized. And if he is working outside, he must have a godly witness and testimony without them. He's outside. You have to write to his employer and ask them for the testimony, whether he is conducting himself in a manner that is pleasing to God. No area of his life is omitted in God's scrutiny as qualifiers, as qualifications for eldership. And therefore, for us, no area must be put or sacrificed, put in jeopardy in order to enhance other areas. I can't say, for example, I want to spend all my time, be the best preacher, be the best pastor, and the best teacher of God's word, and then I neglect my children. I fail God and I fail all of you. That's what this phrase means. See, perceive, look, and contemplate whether there is any area of your life that is not walking accurately. Accurately according to what? According to God's word. And you'll find that the Bible is so complete that there is no relationship that you experience on this earth that the Bible did not cover. No area. That's a promise. Every area of your life, the word of God touched on it. No exception. Every relationship that you have on this earth is covered. So you can really use this Bible to scrutinize and inspect your own life. Please be honest with yourself before God. It's not for man to evaluate. It's not for man to man. It's you and God, because you are a child of God. God wants to fill you. God wants to empower you and use you so that you will be truly the light. Because Jesus said, I want to give you the light. I want you to be the light. Because Jesus says, I have finished my work on earth and I want all of you to continue my work. He started with the apostles and now God has called them home. He started with our church fathers and now in our 21st century, he continues. That's why the book of Acts is one of the only books in the whole Bible that has no conclusion. You study the book of Acts, you keep on studying, right? Last chapter, there's no benediction. It continues. Why? Because every biblical church that continues to do the work of God, you add another page to the book of Acts. That's why it is so important for you and me to be honest with ourselves before God. The moment you say, I am better than God, you're in serious trouble. The moment you say, I do what I want, please don't think that the period of Judges is very distant and very remote. If you and I are honest with ourselves, more often than not, all of us, if we are not careful, will have one area of our lives that will reflect the period of Judges where we will do what is right in our own eyes. You may not do what is right in your own eyes when it comes to service in church. You may not want to do what is right in your own eyes when it comes to your relationship with your wife, with your husband, with your children. But you may want to do what is right in your own eyes when you go to work. Motivated and propelled by material gain, by promotion, by the accolades of the world, by more money. That is not what God says. So you may be found pleasing in the sight of God in church, at home, but not at workplace. And you have failed. That's what this verse means. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Because if you don't, God says you are a fool. Do you know why? Because we have everything given to us by God to be victorious. We have everything given to us by God, the Holy Spirit, the perfect Bible, the gift of the Spirit of God, to succeed, to be the best that God wants us to be, to have the abundant life that God has promised all His children, to truly live a life whereby your life and my life can impact the people around us for eternity. Your life and my life can be used by God to snatch a sinner from the depths of hell and send them all the way to heaven because of your testimony for Jesus Christ. And we don't do it. Don't you think we are really fools? The word fools there basically is the same as the word wise. The only difference is that you have the word are in front of it. The word wise means sophos. Wise. Fools are sophos. That's it. You know are, right? Millennium, there is a 1,000-year reign. Are millennium, no 1,000-year reign. You just put a negative A. That's the word. We can be wise. We are supposed to be wise. We are children of light. We are children of God with the eyes open. We cannot fail, you know that? God has equipped us with everything to succeed. We cannot fail. And when you and I fail, we have no one to blame, not even Satan. We choose to fail. Please realize and understand that when you put anything in front of God, that thing is your idol. It could be your spouse. It could be your child. It could be your job. It could be your sport. It could be anything that is more important to you than Christ. That is an idol. Please realize and understand this. And when you are truly born again, and you do that to yourself, you look at yourself in the mirror, please call yourself a fool. Because once upon a time, remember ye and I, we were all darkness. Not one ray of light shone forth from our lives. And now God has given to us life and light. The light of Christ can emanate from every pore of our body. And we say to God, I don't want. And if you say, God, I want, but on my terms. God says, no, it cannot be on your terms. It has to be on God's terms. You have to walk accurately according to the Bible. Because if you don't, you walk any way you like. It will not be the light of Christ that is emanating from you, but it will be, is there such a thing as black light? I was told there is such a thing as black light, huh? Scientists, black light have, right? You go to the eBay, you type black light, and then you can buy black light. I don't know why people want to have black light. Maybe black light is UV light or some kind of light. It must have some purpose. Because I've seen it, black color You know, like those fluorescent tube. So this one is all black. So I don't know what shines. I mean, you turn it on, I don't know what you see. Right? Because, but they have black light. You want to shine black light? But that seems to be what is coming out of us. If we want to do things our own way and call ourselves Christian, if you're truly born again, then you are really a fool. Because you can do so much for Christ during this short moment that you have on this earth, and you threw everything away. And you know that every day you waste, every second of every day you waste, is a day that is wasted forever and it will never return. And that's why God says, please redeem the time. The next verse, isn't it? Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Now ask yourself, how to redeem the time? I thought when the time is lost, the time is lost forever. How to buy it back? You and I know that we can't buy back time. So what does the Bible mean when it says redeeming the time? Now what it means is this. God alone knows how much time we have on this earth. You and I don't. But let's say we have 70 years and 10. And if we came to know Christ at the age of 30, that means we have only 40 years on earth to be light, to shine for Christ. And if we have wasted 10 years, so we only have 30 years left. And you know that time and tide waits for no man. Whatever you do, you sit there, do nothing, time continues to tick-tock, 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 tick-tock away, isn't it? Right? Whatever you do or you don't do, time will just simply tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. And you now only have 30 years left. Assuming you have 70 years and 10 and you accepted Christ at the age of 30. 10 years gone, you will never come back. You have wasted 10 years of testimony, it's gone forever. Now you only have 30 more years left. Now what are you going to do with the 30 more years? Are you still going to shine forth black light? Or are you going to shine forth the brightest light of Christ that the world needs today? It's up to you. And if you procrastinate, you keep on vacillating, keep on thinking, I don't know, yes, I don't know, tick-tock, tick-tock. The moment you say, I don't know, tick-tock, those moments, those seconds are gone. The longer you procrastinate, tick-tock, tick-tock, it's gone. That's why Jesus says, redeem the time, means don't waste anymore. Please do it, please obey, don't fight with God anymore. Don't wrestle with God anymore. Surrender your all to the Lord and let Him guide your life. Let Him fill you with the Spirit and guide you in all your relationship by beginning with your relationship with Christ. That's what it means. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. If you keep on fighting, you say, no, I don't want to surrender my all. I only want to surrender 80%. God says it's unacceptable. Either 100% or none at all. Remember, you do God no favor by believing in Christ, by coming to church, by giving up your offering. God doesn't need us. We need Him. You know that God gave all of us in FEBC a wake-up call? When we had this lawsuit with Life Church, right from day one, when the trial was about to begin, when we were all preparing our long, thick affidavits, the registrar at the court who gave us the date when the trial would begin told our lawyer to tell us, when you write your affidavit, please don't talk about doctrine. This is the court of man. We are here, not here to talk about doctrine. And so in our affidavit, we didn't touch about doctrine. We just say, this is VPP. VPP means this. The Perfect Bible refers to the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek Bible, not any translation. That's about it. We didn't give any long treatise explaining what it means and how and what are the Bible verses to support. We're told not to. And then during the trial, not much was spoken about the VPP. The lawyer, the judge tried to understand, and so we explained to her what is VPI, VPP, and so on and so forth. We thought we were winning the case because she seems to be more in our favor. Our lawyers, the argument seems to be more toward FEBC rather than Life Church. But when the results came out, she agreed that we are not a ministry of Life Church. We are an independent, charitable, purpose trust Bible college. But she says that we are a new Bible college and she ruled against us in all the other points. And so we appeal. And then when we presented our case before the Court of Appeal, It was about doctrine. One of the three judges, and all three of them were not believers. One of them, maybe, we are told that he might be an Anglican. But you know, Anglican is ecumenical. They worship, especially in Singapore, worship with the Roman Catholics at least once a month in St. Andrew's Cathedral. And more often than not, I was told, when they come together for worship, they speak in tongues. So whether there were a believer inside the three court of appeal, high court judges, we are not sure. But one of them, the Indian high court judge, not a Christian, asked the lawyer of Life Church, if I believe the Bible is perfect in VPP, will that make me not a Christian? He could not answer. Because if he says no, you're still a Christian, then he knows he lost the case. That means FEBC continues to train and teach pastors and Christians. So we are not doing anything new. We are still continuing the Charitable Purpose Trust right from the very beginning when FEBC was founded to train Christian pastors and Christians. If you say yes, they are not Christian, then the next question is, how does believing the Bible is perfect make you not a Christian? And so you know what he did? He couldn't answer. And for that, I'm sure he knew he lost the case. And so when the results came out, do you know what the results were? The three high court judges, not one of them was a theologian, no theological training. They studied the Westminster Confession of Faith. They studied the doctrine of VPP, and their conclusion, the doctrine of the perfect Bible is not inconsistent with the Westminster Confession of Faith, and these are the reasons, theological reasons. God used three unbelievers, non-theologians, to defend his perfect Bible. We all were shocked. We were humbled. God told us by what he did, I don't need you to defend my word. I can do it very well, and I can even use unbelievers to defend my word. And so if I ask you to defend my word, please consider it the greatest honor bestowed upon you. And do it to the best of your ability and do it well with humility. If you don't want to do it, it's fine. God doesn't need us. We need him. Same here. When God wants us to redeem the time, God wants us to please fix every area of your life. The moment you don't fix it, tick tock, tick tock. It's gone. Husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, your relationship toward your work as employers, employees, your relationship toward your schoolwork as students. Are they honoring to God? Search and check accurately against the word of God. Please. Tick tock, tick tock. If it is not, fix it. That's how you redeem the time. Because if you don't, tick tock, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's wasted. And it will not come back. And very soon, you may only have 1 hour left on this earth. Because we do not know, because nobody stamped on my birth cert 3 score years and 10. Does yours have? Does your birth cert have 3 score years and 10 stamped on it? The moment he is born, 3 score years and 10. Have or not? You go back and check your birth cert? I don't think any one of us have, right? So don't assume you became a Christian at the age of 30, you have 40 years. Don't assume you have 40 years. Now you have wasted 10 because now you are 40. You have wasted 20 if you are 50. You have wasted 30 if you are 60. You only have 10 more years. Tick tock, tick tock. Redeem the time. You can't walk right with God in all other relationships if you do not walk right with Him in your relationship. So God says, redeem the time. Second, verse 17 to 19. To those who want to walk circumspectly, a life of filling will allow us to redeem the time. Second, it will provide us with right understanding. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. The word unwise there is a person that has no reasoning, unable to think straight. Stop being unwise. Remember, this morning we talked about the two prohibitions. This one is the same as the one in the morning. The Christians in Ephesus, some of them were unwise. So Paul says, stop being fools, but have understanding. This word understanding means to put something together. You scrutinize your life, and then you check it against the word of God. Put them together and know what the will of the Lord is for your life, in your relationship with your school, in your schoolwork, with your spouse, with the children, with every area of your life. Put them together and then you put it side by side and then you find out and see whether it is matching with what the Bible teaches and what the Bible says. If it is not, then match it. Match it. Is it so hard to match it? Be filled with the Spirit of God. Stop being drunk with wine. Same thing. Stop action in progress. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Now someone asked this question. Okay, so I'll answer the question as we look at this verse 18. Be not drunk with wine. The Christians in the church of Ephesus, some of them were drunk with wine. The word of God says, stop being drunk. This is not a basis, an explanation, a justification for Christians to drink. This is a clear teaching. Don't get drunk. That's it. That's what it teaches. It does not say it's okay to drink, but don't get drunk. It simply means don't get drunk, because when a person is drunk, he will commit excesses. You know what kind of excesses he will commit? The word excesses literally means he will do the deeds as if he is like an unsaved person. He is like an unbeliever. The word excess means literally unsaved. Someone who is not born again. Someone who is not saved. Sometimes you and I read in the papers in Singapore something that is horrendous. A girl reporting somebody to the police because she woke up inside his bedroom naked. The last thing she recalled and remembered, she was in a club and she was drinking. The next thing she remembered, she was in the stranger's house, naked in his bedroom on his bed. And she reported him to the police, charged him for rape. Excesses. This is the thing. When you are drunk, you have no idea what you are doing, and you do not know what people will do to you when you are drunk. They have a very strict law against drunk driving here, right? You ask yourself why. You ask yourself a simple question, because when you are behind the wheel of a car, you know it is a dangerous weapon. You travel at whatever speed, that mass of metal is a dangerous weapon. That's why they have a very strict law, because that weapon can kill, can hurt and damage people, and then you will just go to court and say, I can't remember, I was drunk. You think that will excuse you? So, God says, you Christians, some of you are drunk. You are Christians, stop it. Instead of being drunk, be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. That means let the Spirit of God lead you. Don't let this drunken spirit lead you and cause you to commit all kinds of heinous sins, like as if you are not born again. Let your life be led and guided by God. Would you? That's what it means. Don't fight against God. Don't be so willful. Please don't think that because you have a university degree, because you are doing well in your job, you don't need God. You are a fool. If you treat God like an emergency exit, at your beck and call, when I need you, God, God, please come and help me. But I'm fine, leave me alone. You think this is the kind of God that you have accepted and call Him Abba Father? What kind of father you think God is? What kind of father would you be if your son treats you that way? You want your son to treat you that way? Mom, Dad, how are you? You know the next thing, I want pocket money. When they don't need pocket money, no phone call, no letter, zilch, right? Hello, Dad, Mom. Mom and Dad also know what you want. Okay, how much? True? You want that kind of relationship with your mom and dad? You want your children to be like that to you? Then why are you doing that to God the Father? You think God is like that? After sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sin, can you really be that ungrateful? Do you think God, with the indwelling of the Spirit of God, helping you, transforming you to become more and more like Christ with the fruit of the Spirit, and then you end up like that? You think the Spirit of God is so weak and so frail that you will end up like that, and that kind of life is pleasing to God? And you really, really want to do that to yourself? Really? Surrender your all to the Lord. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. To be filled with the Spirit of God means that the Spirit of God lead me and guide me to be a godly husband, to be a godly wife. Lord, lead me and guide me to be a godly son, to be a godly student, to be a godly employee, to be a godly servant in the church. That's exactly what it means. It's not empty water, empty cup, half full, and it's nothing like that. Filled with the Spirit of God means every area of my life must be led by the Spirit of God. That's what it means. And it has to be consistent. Keep on praying, asking the Lord to help you to be a better husband. When you quarrel with your wife, Lord, please help me to patch up with my wife. Please help me, teach me to love my wife more and more each day. Help me to be a godly mom and dad to my children. Lord, please give me the wisdom as I study God's word on how to bring my child up according to Holy Scriptures. Please help me. Do you know that your children, they don't belong to you? They are gifts from God. Gifts from God to you. And one day God wants you to return your children to Him. You know that, right? In other words, you are only stewards. Your duty when God gave them to you is to shape them and mold them to become like Christ. That means you have to ensure that they become believers at the earliest age possible by your testimony, by your example, by the time you spend with them. And one day God wants you to return them to Him. And the only way you can return them to Him is that they become Christians. Because if you fail, you don't, they're going to end up in hell. And when you die, you better say goodbye and farewell. Don't you ever dare say see you. Because they are not going to see you. You are going to heaven, they are going to hell. That's what filled with the Spirit of God means. No area of your life must not be led by the Spirit of God. Don't neglect any area of your life. That's what it means. That's what the Bible says. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Psalms, of course, would be the 150 psalms. Hymns would be songs in praise of God. Spiritual songs means songs pertaining to the spiritual edification of saints. More often than not, the word songs there refers to short choruses. So they are not synonyms for psalms. There are three different kinds, different types of songs or hymns for praising the Lord. By the way, did you check? Did you check the hymns? Yes? No? You check. Did you find any that are not doctrinally sound? Yes or no? So what are you going to do with it? You're going to change some of the lyrics. You've got to fix it. Don't you think so? Remember, in the 17th, 18th century, when Christianity was dominated by the Puritans, especially in England. And that was the time where England was the heart and soul of the defenders of the Christian faith. Many of the hymns were written from there, as well as in many parts of America, where Christianity was pure, solid, conservative, and strong and influential. And so you find that the hymns that came out during that period, during those centuries, they were solid in theology and God was the focus. From the time of the 20th century and with the birth of the World Council of Churches in 1948, with the influence of the charismatic movement since 1906, as well as the birth of the New Evangelical movement in 1948, Christianity has diluted herself to the point of apostasy today. And therefore, any hymns that you read or find emanating from the 20th century with this kind of ecumenical, diluted Christianity, you have to be very, very guarded, because more often than not, you're going to find man-centered, sentimental tunes and man-centered lyrics. And they should not be used, because one of the ways to destroy the church would be through all these diluted hymns singing, diluted songs. Check very carefully. Why do you think our own revival hymns and choruses have to come up with a second edition? Because some of the hymns that we have inside there had to be removed because they were not good. And now we are doing another check on all the 500 plus hymns to make sure each and every one of them is good and solid. Not only in terms of lyrics, but also in terms of tune. Because if you were to study the music from the time of the 17th century till today, you're going to see a regression. When Christianity was conservative, you find that the classical hymns and the classical songs that were played were very conservative, even in terms of its composition. And with the passage of time, with the downgrade of Christianity, the composition also lags and changed accordingly, so much so that till today, you're going to find many of the so-called Christian songs that are exactly the sound as what you find in the world, rock and roll. There is a history of decline and regression. And that will be what we are going to study and present to the church during next month's seminar, 3.5 weeks away. To teach our people to guard them, especially the younger generation, to be circumspect, to choose very carefully and accurately what goes into your heart and your soul and your mind, especially when it comes to the worship of God. We are talking about the worship of God, not worship of man. Please realize that there are many songs out there in the world that are very fine and you can use them and you can listen to them, not a problem. But we are not talking about for you and for me. It's not for you and for me to consume. We're talking about worshiping the one living and true God. So therefore, you cannot pick and choose any songs that you like. It has to be accurate, circumspect. That means according to Holy Scriptures. For example, now, it's not that I've done this before. Actually, I've never done this before. Okay, if I want to serenade my wife, do you think it's okay if I choose one of the hymns? I can't, right? Because the hymns are supposed to be songs that are composed to praise God. So I can't use the hymn and then go and use it to praise my wife. Because if I use it to praise my wife, next time when somebody chose the hymn and I want to sing in church, I'll think of my wife. Problem, isn't it? So I will choose a song that is composed, that is of the world, and then I'll use it to serenade my wife. As long as it is wholesome, as it is okay, it's fine. It's okay to use maybe one of the songs from Sound of Music. You know, you want to teach your son or your little girl, though a deer, a female deer. It's okay. You want to use that, it's fine. It's wholesome, right? There's nothing wrong with that song. But we're not talking about teaching children. We're not talking about sentimental husband-wife relationship. We're talking about worshiping the one living and true God. And He has given to us the Word of God to guide us in the composition of our hymns, in the composition of our spiritual songs. Now remember I told you about this church in Singapore, PCC, Pilgrim Covenant Church. They think that they are very spiritual because they say, we only sing psalms, we don't even use musical instrument, and so therefore we are closer to God in our worship than all of you. Remember I said, they did not know that they have fallen into the deception of Satan. Because by one silly stroke, by what they have done, they now throw away all the hymns, all spiritual songs, they now sing only hymns. Do you know what they have done? They have just fallen into the trap of Satan. Do you know that they will never sing any hymns in praise of Christ? Because if you sing only psalms, the name Jesus Christ will never be found there. Do you realize that? By one silly stroke, they fill their own minds with some kind of noble spiritual idea, notion. That now we are more spiritual than all these other churches that sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs because we only sing the Word of God because only from the 150 psalms. They never realize that they will never praise Christ ever again unless they are prepared to change. You know that. Many of the hymns are based upon New Testament theology. You know that, right? Many of the hymns that we sing during Easter, they will never sing. Many of the hymns that we sing during Christmas about the birth of Christ, they will never sing because it's not Psalms. Psalms are only Old Testament. That's why God says Psalms are good, but so are the hymns that I will inspire my children to write through the passage of time. And many of them will base it on New Testament theology, whereby they will sing about the Lord Jesus Christ. But these people, in their blindness, foolishness perhaps, they have just stopped praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a single hymn that will be based upon the New Testament scriptures. And the worst part is, they think they are better than everybody else. That is why it is so important that you have the right kind of hymns, spiritual songs inside the church for worship. Because it is a reflection of your attitude and your understanding of who God is. That's why it is so important for us to remember, redeem the time, be understanding, put together, check everything that you do, including your singing here with singing, with making melody in your heart to the Lord. Make sure that it is put side by side against the Word of God and it is correct. It is biblical, it is sound, it is scriptural. We live in an age and a time, as you know, where music has deteriorated so badly within the Christian church. I was told by Elder Cole when I came that he had not been to Kurong for a long time. Then when he went back recently, he got a shock of his life, the kind of music that they play. You know, as you browse through their shelves and all that, they have background music, and he was surprised and he was shocked at the kind of music they play. You think that is only in Kurong? It's all over the world. It's already like this in Singapore. Do you know how hard it is to find a proper CD to sell in our book room back in Singapore? We've got to hunt high and low. And if you find a few that are good, there will be another few inside the same CD that are no good. And you can't order them and sell them because out of 16, 6 may be good, 10 may be no good, or 10 may be good, 6 no good. Then what are you going to do? Because the book room is for the church members. And so the church members presume that whatever that is sold in the book room has been scrutinized and checked and evaluated. And so they just buy and they just assume that everything is okay, you know. And I'm the one supposed to give the green light to buy, you know. And so the onus is going to fall on me. And so sometimes we have to listen to some of these CD before we order them. And if all of them are good except one, we still cannot order. Because these members of ours, when they buy, they assume not except one, they assume all are good. And if Reverend Kek says it's good, so therefore must be good. And then I cannot. So we are stuck. So sometimes we scratch our head. Where to buy them? Where to find them? At first, last time we thought BJU would be good. Now BJU is also in the decline. BJU is a champion for defending the Bible with mistakes. So now we are really, really struggling to find some kind of source whereby we can have good CD. And so we try to get our choirs to choose the right kind of hymns and then sing them properly. And then we record our own choir singing those hymns. And this seems to be what we are doing now. We can't help it because we don't know where to find good hymns, good songs, good spiritual songs for our people to listen. Because we know how dangerous it is because you know the musicians are passionate people. You say, this is no good, that is no good. They're going to challenge you because they think that, well, music is so subjective, it's up to me. It is not subjective. It's how you put all those tauge together and it can come out bad sounds. True or not? Those little things, you know, they look like tauge, right? Black tauge. Isn't it? How you arrange them, it can sound horrible. Just like ABC is not neutral. It's how you arrange the ABC, you come up with words, and that's how you can come up with certain articles and certain literature and certain papers that attack and undermine the Word of God, and they are ABCs arranged together, right, into words that have meanings. Same. You may have do-re-mi, all those, but how you arrange all this tauge, come up with sounds that are very damaging. So please be discerning. Walk circumspectly. Be understanding. Put side by side everything that you do in your life and in the church. Put it against the Word of God and check, especially your worship. And then finally, give thanks always. in your relationship with God. Before we consider husband and wife tomorrow morning, parent-child tomorrow evening, this night is very crucial. It's between you and the Lord. And if all of us are right with the Lord, you know how vibrant and how powerful Sydney BB Church can be? When God's people, every one of you, members of Sydney BB Church, all areas of your life filled with the Spirit of God, scrutinize and check against the Word of God, and every area receive a pass from God. You know how strong and how vibrant Sydney BB Church is? It's not numbers. It's quality. And that's what God wants of all of us. That's what God wants for you in Sydney BB Church. That is what God wants for you in your life. Because if each and every one of us do that, that will make the whole church. If one of you do not do it, it will hurt the whole church. You know that. Learn to give thanks always for all things. Why? Because my God is all powerful. Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Learn to give thanks. Because when you learn to give thanks, you are automatically very cheerful. You will stop murmuring. You will stop complaining. You will learn to give thanks. Thank God for the government, whatever the government might be. Are you upset and angry that homosexuals are gaining ground? Are you? Don't be. Because Jesus already prophesied that it will happen. And if they don't gain ground and they do not cover the world in pink, the pink is the color, right? That's why I will never wear pink. Because I'm a man. Woman can wear pink. Man don't wear pink, right? True or not? No. The world will be covered in pink, please. Because Jesus says so. Now, if the world doesn't cover in pink, that means Sodom, the world will not be like Sodom, Jesus will not come. Right? So Sodom, me, is coming. Let them come. The faster they come, the earlier the Lord returns. True? True or not? The Lord already says, before I return, the world will be like Sodom. That means fornication will cover the face of the earth. Homosexuality will cover the face of the earth. Fornication already covers it. So now the next step is homosexuality. And now it is covering. That's why recently this year, in the Speaker's Corner in Singapore, 7-8 years ago, when the pink people gathered together, there were about maybe 2,000. Today, this year, 23,000. Tenfold. Hopefully next year, 230,000. Right? The Lord is coming. Because Singapore cannot be excluded. Singapore must also be covered in pink. Everywhere must be covered in pink. The Lord will come. Don't you want the Lord to come? Or you want to go to Switzerland first? Huh? You don't want the Lord to come? Then you better be ready then. Don't be found wanting. There will be one church camp. There will be the final church camp. And when you arrive in heaven, every day will be a church camp. True? That's true, isn't it? There'll be no more driving back home. There'll be no more goodbye. You'll be just spending time with the Lord. And then, all the food and food you want to eat, no need to go to the toilet. True, what? You'll be glorified with a glorified body, flesh and bones. Jesus said flesh and bones. You don't need to eat to survive. You don't need to sleep. Because your body will be powerful and spiritual. It will be a blessed and wonderful time. But don't you think the blessed and the wonderful time should begin now? Not when you arrive in heaven. Because when you arrive in heaven, you want to present to the Lord, Lord, this is my life of service unto you. I have walked circumspectly. I have learned to give thanks in all things, whatever it may be in my life. And the Lord will say to you, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Don't you want the Lord to say those words to you? As a father, as a mother, as a brother, as a sister, as a son, as a daughter, as a servant in the church, wherever you are, all areas of your life, God says, pass. That's what the filling of the Holy Spirit is all about. And God wants the best for us. But God says, please do it on my terms. Surrender your life to me. Let every area of your life be checked against God's word. That's the meaning of be understanding. and learn to give thanks. Whatever I give to you, you learn to be thankful. Whatever it is, please understand that God says it will turn out for your good. And your good means your faith and your trust in me will be deepened and strengthened in the process. Please understand that no virus, no bug, no diseases, nothing can hurt us without our Father's permission. And if God says your service on earth is done, come home. Why want to stay any longer? Just go home. The problem with us is we think that this earth is more beautiful than heaven. That's our problem. And why do people think that way? They are not close to God. They are too worldly. If you are so close to Christ, and Christ means everything to you, why don't you want to see Christ face to face? Right? I love my wife very much. I don't like to be separated from my wife. But sometimes I have to because of ministry. And so God willing, if in November I have to go down to Kenya, she doesn't want to go to Kenya. Because, I mean, my wife is right, because in Kenya, I'll be preaching and teaching 6 to 8 hours a day. Now, what is she going to do? She's going to sit in the house that they're going to let me stay in. What's she going to do? She will twiddle her thumb for 8 to 6 hours. I mean, she can't go out because it's dangerous. She has to stay within the compound of the Bible college. And she has a lot to do at home in Singapore. And so I will have to go there alone and have to teach 6 to 8 hours a day, literally. Because last time I was there, I finished the whole book of Genesis in 5 days. And the next week, I finished the whole book of Exodus in 5 days. And then on Saturday will be exam. And then Sunday, we preach. And then Saturday, exam. And then the second Sunday, finish preaching, fly back. That's it. Because I love my wife very much, I can't wait to come home and see her. I can't wait. If you can wait not to see Christ, ask yourself, how much do you love him? If you love someone and you have been away from the someone for so long, you can't help. You long to be with that person, isn't it? Do you really love Christ? He says, walk circumspectly. Let me help you with the filling of the Spirit of God in all areas of your life. Will you? I will help you redeem your time. I will help you to have the right understanding. I will help you, God says, to learn to give thanks always. Whatever your lot in life, you learn to trust me, God is sovereign. And when you are able to do this, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know how wonderful your church will be? We learn to submit ourselves to one another. It simply means I will learn to subordinate myself according to how God has called me. And that is going to be the focus from tomorrow morning onwards. How can the wife learn to submit herself to the husband, and the husband in his relationship with the wife, the children to the father to the children, the employee to the employer to the employee. And all this is possible when you are filled with the Spirit of God, God aiding you, helping you, guiding you each step of the way. If you surrender your all to the Lord, you cannot fail. You can only be victorious. And this life, remember, ye are darkness once upon a time. Now you are light. Why don't you want the light to shine? Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for Your patience and Your long-suffering in dealing with all of us. How You could have just simply struck all of us dead. And yet, O Lord, You have allowed us to remain on this earth for a time such as this, in these last of the last days, to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ into a world that is in sin and spiritual darkness. Forgive us, O Lord, when we have failed Thee in certain areas of our lives, in certain other areas of our lives, O Lord, when we have been faithful. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy grace, which has always been our sufficiency. And in other areas, O Lord, You know best that we have fallen short of Thy glory. May Thou forgive us. Help us, O Lord, to redeem the time. Help us, O Lord, to be understanding, to put all areas of our lives against the Word of God and see where we have and how we can improve, where we have not done according to Thy holy Word. Teach us how we can fix it and improve on it, that our lives will truly shine for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may truly say from our hearts, in all things we give Thee thanks, for Thou hast been a good God to all of us. May thou be merciful, Lord, to hear our cry. And we pray that you will help us and make Sydney BP Church a haven of rest where God's people are filled with thy Spirit, living a life of holiness, where all who come and visit Sydney BPC may see Christ in the lives of all your people. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.